You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Metal Shop here on The Rock, and we're actually talking to Wayne Ingram from a band called The Wilderun. Is that correct? Wilderun? Did I say it right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of the few that actually does say it right.
How do they usually say it? Like Wild Run or Wildy Run or?
Yeah, you know, it's fine. People can call it whatever they want. But yeah, we do get a lot of people saying Wild Run. And, I've seen some YouTube videos where people have said that. And Wilderun is how we've been pronouncing it. So if you want to call it, you know, one time we played a show in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And on the marquee, they had written Who Run. I don't know where they got that. But
sounds like a rap song.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
What's the origin of the band name?
Evan, our front man, singer, Wilderun's kind of his baby. And so he was reading this book series, the Shannara Chronicles.
Okay.
And, there's a land in that book series, called Wilderun. And so he named the band after that.
Very cool. Right on, man. And so it is his baby, as you were saying. And I guess, you know, I'll get into all the band questions first, or in a minute. But first, I just kind of wanted to check in on you and how are you doing right now? Because it's a wild time, not only for musicians, but pretty much for everyone going on right now. How have you been staying busy? How have you been staying sane and safe, man?
Well, yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? The world is very much a strange place at the current moment.
A trash fire, if you will.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty much on fire. That's unfortunate. I hope you're doing okay.
We're all on the West Coast here together, so we're kind of, I don't know, we just got the mandate that we're supposed to, forcefully going to have to wear masks for the next, you know, until they have a vaccine, which for me, I was like, okay, who wasn't wearing a mask? Screw you guys, dude. What the hell?
I know. California just reinstated their mask mandate too. And I feel very much the same way. I'm kind of like, I don't know who's, I wish everyone would just do the thing that helps everyone be healthy, you know.
There's people, okay, so, like, there's people dying in the streets, and there's, like, these, like, political unrest and, like, all this, like, crazy, like, protests against racism, and then there's, like, people that are on Facebook complaining about they have to wear masks. It's like, yo, I see where your priorities are right now, dude.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a small thing to worry about considering the rest of what's going on.
Exactly. How you been, dude? How's we're kind of, I guess, out of the quote unquote quarantine, trying to reintegrate into society for better or worse. How are you doing? How are you staying sane, and safe and busy? And what's life been like since March?
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as, personally, my wife and I just had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations, so dude. Level,
you know? Yeah, it's very exciting, but
quarantine cutie.
Sorry,
quarantine cutie.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm gonna start calling him that now. he's great and healthy, and we're all very grateful for that. But you know, having a baby during this time is a very strange time to bring new life into the world. So you know, obviously that's. Been keeping me very busy for the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But besides that, Wilderun has always been kind of a strange setup as far as band stuff goes, because I live on the West Coast.
Yeah.
you know, and everyone else is back east, whether it's in Massachusetts or John, our drummer, lives in North Carolina.
Okay.
So when we do stuff, it's there's a lot of when we do shows, you know, which isn't happening right now. There's a bunch of, there were a couple of festivals we were going to play in Europe this year, and then that was going to be our first time going to Europe, but you know, those things have been postponed, rightfully so. But it's still unfortunate that that happened. We do kind of like this kind of thing. We go on Skype, video conference, and we have band meetings every month. And we, right now we're working on some new material, and, you know, we will be trying to get together when we can to play together and work out some parts. If not, we'll find a way to do it online, I suppose. But you know, the fact that we live kind of spread out makes it already a challenge. And then the fact that now it's very difficult to travel anywhere, you know, we have to find alternatives, I think, to do music stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, damn, dude. I imagine, it's, you know, kind of segmented and like you have to, it's like a piecework quilt you kind of have to put together, but it's good that you guys are obviously still in contact and whatnot. I should mention that the album is Veil of Imagination. It is available now on Century Media. And I want to talk about the album and your band. So you personally, you play, from what I understand, you play all sorts of roles in the band as far as instrumentation goes. Real quick, could you run down all the instruments and sounds that you make on the album and in the band?
Sure. Yeah, I kind of have this, I hesitate to use the word transitory, but it feels a little bit that way in Boulder Run. Because the very first album we did together, I played lead guitar in the band.
Okay.
And did all the orchestral stuff on the first, that's Olden Tales and Deathly Trails. I did all the orchestra stuff, and I played lead guitar. It was Evan, myself, John, and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next album, Sleep at the Edge of the Earth. I started working for a big music production library company called Bleeding Fingers
in
Santa Monica. Write music for TV and movies and stuff, mostly TV stuff.
Yeah,
that was like my day job, and it was very time consuming. So I had to kind of step away from Wilder Run for a little while, which was really unfortunate. That job was just very all encompassing. And so because of that, that's when we got Joe into the band to play guitar, because he already lives in Massachusetts with everyone else. I'm like, oh, you guys aren't going to have any trouble doing shows because Joe lives like down the street, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you don't have
someone from California to go do a show.
Yeah. You know?
And it was a great decision to have Joe come on and play guitar, because he friggin' rules. He's such a good guitar player and such a cool dude, too.
Yeah.
So on that record, I started to do more of the – I took him backseat to playing things and doing more of the production stuff and the orchestral things. And Dan, the bassist, and I partnered together to do the orchestra stuff for Sleep.
Cool.
And that kind of set I guess on Sleep, I also played like some lap steel, and I played some banjo stuff, and I did some various like acoustic instrument things on Sleep, which was really fun. It's really cool to add that Americana flavor, you know, onto this metal stuff. But that workflow from Sleep really set the stage for Veil, because it worked so well to have Dan and I partner together doing the orchestra stuff. And we just carried that over to work on Sleep. Dan and I have various musical influences, and it's great to pair those together. So on Veil, personally, I didn't play any instruments on Veil. I did a ton of orchestral work. You know, to name all the instruments I used would be there's a lot of instruments in the orchestra, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's obviously the big instrument families like strings, brass, and woodwinds, and various sound design things that Dan and I created to, you know, weave into the texture of the orchestral stuff. But most of my involvement on Veil, because again, I was still working at Bleeding Fingers at the time. So I, you know, the most that I could offer was, you know, working on the orchestral stuff. I couldn't fly to the studio to play anything, and they already had Joe playing guitar. So yeah. I'm still finding my niche in the band was much more like, you know, the orchestral stuff is where I could really put my efforts and like, you know, and make an impact on the sound, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I focused my efforts on Veil. And, I'm very proud of what Dan and I created orchestrally. I don't know if that answers that question or not.
No, totally, man.
A long story. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all good. I'm the one who asked. You guys, I mean, people might be that are listening might be like, okay, so let's listen to this interview. I've never heard of Wilderun, and they hear us talking about orchestration. They hear us talking about lap steel guitar. They hear us talking about banjo, and they're like, wait, is this a metal band? What are you talking about? So I gotta say, you guys are one of the most layered, unique metal-ish bands I've ever heard. Honestly, so first off, like,
man.
Someone that you're like just, you know, in a casual conversation, how the hell would you even describe your band to someone?
Gosh, it like changes every time someone asks.
Right.
I never really know what I can never really pin down a genre, right? To like to say.
So I said metal ish.
Like, yeah, metal ish. You know, I think I'm gonna start using that because that makes a lot of sense.
Metal ish band.
Metal ish band. But I think what we've been saying, more or less, is that we're less of a folk metal band now, and we're much more of just like a progressive symphonic metal band. I think encompasses. I think that encompasses. You know, that's a wide enough umbrella to fit all the elements in.
If you say you're a folk metal band, then people will think that you dress up in costumes, right?
Yeah, you know, we used to have. Stage outfits. I mean, we still do, but we used to wear like fancy dress up clothes, like, you know, vests and, you know, dress shirts and slacks and stuff.
Yeah.
On our first, that was our look. And that's changed now. But that first album, again, that first album was very much a folk metal record, and we've kind of moved away from that, especially with Veil. It's not,
yeah,
there's like acoustic guitar on it. There are some folky things, but mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a folk metal thing anymore.
So you guys, I have to mention that I actually, after I'm done with this interview, my day job is I work for a company called Dusty Strings that builds and produces hammered dulcimers and harps.
You get Dusty Strings, dude. I own one of your dulcimers.
Really? Yeah. I'm the person. What kind is it? Like a D550 or Prelude?
I could not tell you the model number. Hold on. I could not tell you the model number. I had it literally right here. I'd have to take it out of the case to tell you, but it's like a diatonically tuned one. It's nice. Got like four octaves on it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't create the instruments, but I'm the one and only, shipping guy. So I make sure to, you know, cause everything has to go into these like big boxes, and we have boxes made specifically for us. So yeah, the company is literally a 10-minute walk from my apartment. So yeah, I work at Dusty Strings.
Dude, that's so cool. The dulcimer, I bought it at the NAMM show, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, you bought it from my boss, Ray.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that guy is so cool. Man, yeah. You guys make great stuff. I love it. I bought it on a whim just because I tried it at the NAMM show. I was like, wow, this is the coolest thing, and I don't own one, and I love playing it. So they gave me a great deal because I bought it at the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, what a small world, huh?
I'll tell them, and I'll show them the band. I'll show them your band, and they'll be like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, I'm hoping I can use. I'll use the dulcimer on future Wilderun stuff for sure. The dulcimer you do hear, I guess I should make sure to say that the dulcimer you do hear on the record so far has been Dan's grandpa's dulcimer that's like 100 years old or something, which is also very cool.
Old school.
But I've used, when I worked at Zimmer's company, Bleeding Fingers, I used this dulcimer all the time. Like you, shows like Mountain Men and Alaskan Bush People. I played my dulcimer all over. So this dulcimer's been on TV a bunch of times.
Oh wow, dude! I gotta get you in contact with these people. I want you to tell them that. I wouldn't be able to quote exactly what you just said, but yeah, I'm gonna tell them today. Maybe I'll get you guys in contact. Maybe we can get you some sort of deal where you get some free strings or something. I don't know.
I'd be eternally grateful. but thank you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just pass the word along that I love the dulcimer.
Absolutely, man. Hell yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me rephrase this question. Okay. So So I work for Dusty Strings. You guys include a hammer dulcimer in the band. I gotta ask. So I know there's a band called Botanist that is mainly hammer dulcimer, and it's kind of like black metal influence. Are you guys like one of two or three metal bands that has ever used a hammer dulcimer? Do you know of any other ones?
You know, we're definitely not the only. We're definitely not the only band that has woven the hammer dulcimer sound into our fabric before. I don't think I can spout off any particular bands I can't think of any band in particular that I've heard it, but I know I've heard it before.
Okay.
I think a lot of the more European, folk metal bands, they're using all kinds of stuff like this.
Elvete and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of bands, I can imagine bands like Fintroll Elvete and stuff. Those the more European and Scandinavian bands, you're gonna find this kind of woven into the fabric of the sound. Not so much American bands, but any of those European things, I think you're gonna find it. I've definitely heard it before. I think it's probably safe to say we're one of maybe the only American
fair enough
bands.
Nice.
Maybe used it. Maybe, but I don't want to. Don't quote me on that because I don't know for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of great metal bands in America using cool folk instruments.
Yeah. I don't think I hear the dulcimer in Deicide or Obituary much, but that's just.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I'm curious about your journey into metal. Like, what was the first? What was your first exposure to like metal growing up, or like hard rock? What was that first time that you were like, dude, that shreds? Were you even a metal guy, or do you come from a different perspective?
Well, no, I definitely come from a classic rock background.
Okay.
With my dad, we would, I had to be helping him outside in the yard as a kid, or, driving to like scout camp or whatever, it would always be classic rock in the car. I think my first exposure to metal was definitely through my cousin, Eric. I remember one Christmas he bought me it's what everyone I'm sure hears the first time. He bought me a copy of the Black Sabbath, their first album, and Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, this stuff is amazing. It's so heavy. I've never heard anything like it. I'm like 12, right? So definitely Black Sabbath and Metallica were the first time that I had heard metal in any sense. I was just starting to learn guitar around that time. So, I was like learning Led Zeppelin songs, and then I heard Master of Puppets. So I'm like, I'm going to learn that instead.
Yeah.
That's really cool. but all my, a lot of my, my, rock or my, I guess my guitar musical influences are very rooted in classic rock, and then I just sort of moved on to metal, but I still have to attribute a lot of my playing style to bands like Zeppelin and and like, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and, you know, AC/DC, and like those classic rock bands that I heard growing up. They, you know, there's a huge set of influence in there that colors how I play metal, if that makes any sense.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, you have that kind of like that foundation and everything that's, you know, comes from there is just building up on that like foundation of that stuff that you listened to when you were working on the car with your dad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like those formative things, right? You learn a couple of like Aerosmith solo licks, and then you learn a Metallica song, and then you get into a metal band and you're like, oh, how do I put these two things together to make my own sound or whatever, you know?
Totally. And now, I'm going to put you on the spot and take a minute if you need to, if you could pick four albums from your entire life that have made a distinct impression and like are still important to you, four albums.
Well, I recently just did that 10 albums thing on Facebook, so this shouldn't be that hard.
Okay, there you go.
So four albums, definitely. I'll have to say there's a compilation album called the BBC Sessions. It's Led Zeppelin, the BBC Sessions. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first classic rock CDs I ever got. And it was my dad's. And so I listened to that like tons through high school, you know, just like, that's definitely a huge kind of foundational thing for me.
Okay.
Dream Theater's Scenes from a Memory is probably the most life-changing album for me personally.
Yeah.
Because I had listened to, you know, like I said, I had listened to Master Puppets. I had listened to all this classic rock stuff. You know, I listened to, like the Big Four, right? Like Iron Maiden, or not, they're not the Big Four, but you know, like Megadeth and Anthrax, you know, all those are classic old school metal bands.
Yeah.
I had already been listening to those. And then I heard Dream Theater. My friend Austin from high school, he's a great drummer. He was working in a music store and he brought over the Scenes from a Memory DVD. And he said, stop whatever you're doing. I'm coming over. We have to watch this. I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm getting into, but okay.
Yeah.
And he brought it over and I had never in my life heard music like Dream Theater, where there's like odd time signatures and, you know, insane, like lightning fast guitar playing and like songs that are 10 minutes long. And well, Metallica has long songs, but not in the way that Dream Theater has songs that have like all these movements and different parts and sections, you know? And it was like, how do you make, I couldn't even conceive of music like that, you know, in high school. I had no idea you could even make music happen like that. Like, why are there five beats in this measure? I don't understand what's happening, you know?
Can they do that? Is that allowed?
Yeah. Yeah. Is this legal? So Dream Theater Scenes from a Memory. Once I heard that, I was hooked. And then I like moved on from just regular straight ahead metal and was like, I'm going to listen to progressive metal for the rest of my life. So I've got the Led Zeppelin thing, Dream Theater Scenes from a Memory. I have to say, I think kind of tied for maybe the third album would be, Children of Bodom's, Follow the Reaper.
Nice.
Yeah. And, Nightwish, Dark Passion Play.
Okay.
And the reason I say those two is because they're the first two albums I heard where it was like in a more aggressive metal band. You know, definitely Children of Bodom, not so much Nightwish in the aggression part, but also they're the first metal bands I heard that included like symphonic elements. Nightwish especially, they have a whole giant live orchestra playing with them on that album. But Children of Bodom, you know, they have a keyboard player, but it's still like, it's like it's got orchestral elements and like synth stuff. You know, I had heard those bands before I heard, I heard Children of Bodom before I heard Dream Theater. So I was like, oh, wow, this metal that I know of metal, but I've never heard it this aggressive.
Yeah.
And I've never heard it with, you know, anything other than guitars, right? It's like, oh, there's like these orchestral things and like synth things. I was like, that's a new sound palette that I didn't know existed. That's really cool. And that really got me into the, like, symphonic metal.
Okay, yeah.
This symphonic metal. And then Nightwish, you know, I discovered probably when I was in college. And it was just more of an extension of that.
Totally.
Because it's like, oh, I know what it sounds like to have a keyboard player play, like, synth strings, but Nightwish has like
a whole
orchestra.
Yeah, you know, totally.
That was incredible because me, you know, doing work as like a TV and film composer, you know, I write a lot of orchestral music, but I never heard it paired with the metal that I like so much. You know.
Hmm.
And then I guess lastly, I'd have to say, Tursas, the battle metal album.
Okay, yeah.
And I have to say that because that was the first album that I ever heard that was, you know, like the quote unquote folk metal thing.
Yeah.
And that album rips. I think that album is so good. And I love the energy. And I never heard, you know, before that I had never heard metal with, you know, an accordion player and a violinist, and I'm like, what is this? You know, just every album that I think is influential is something that an album I listened to where there was like a new element that I never heard before.
Totally.
Mixed metal, you know? So yeah, those are the like 4/5 albums
that's a good foundation though. I can definitely see, you know, elements of those like influencing Wilburun. Not saying that you guys are, you know, I would be, you know, I think safe to say that I can hear a little bits and pieces of those influences, but you guys are your own thing, man. Veil of Imagination is available now on Century Media. Before we go, dude, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you taking the time during this weird time. Do you have any final words for the Northwest audience?
Well, I mean, yeah, thank you for calling and having me on, man. It's always really fun to get to talk to just anybody other than my bandmates about music, you know?
So. Exactly. Especially during this time. It's like, yes, I can talk to someone. No, don't go. Stay with me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. Final thoughts. I don't know. I hope everyone stays safe.
There you
healthy.
Go.
Healthy.
Yeah.
I hope you've got a big stockpile of beer to keep you.
Yes.
You know,
my roommate works at Elysian, so.
You say that again?
My roommate works at Elysian Brewery, so we're okay.
Oh, you're set.
Yeah.
You don't need to work anything. I hope we can get out to start touring again, because the most rewarding part of doing this whole music thing is, you know, going around the country or wherever else and playing shows and getting to meet new people and share what we like to do, and, you know, with you and yeah. And hopefully make, you know, some new friends because we have common interests or whatever. I hope we get to do more of that, because I definitely miss it. I mean, really, just all I really hope for the world right now is just that everyone is safe and healthy and that, you know, things make a turn for the better soon.
That's right. Really it. Right on, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time again. Wayne Ingram from Wilderun, their album Veil of Imagination is available now.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.